When it comes to some of the industrial chemicals known as PFAS, the EPA now says there's no safe amount in drinking water. PFAS stands for polyfluoroalkyl substances, and they're widely used in products like Teflon pans, fire retardants, as well as in lots of other household products. They're often called forever chemicals because they don't degrade or degrade very slowly and last, well, they last nearly forever. Now, the dire federal warning didn't surprise communities affected by these chemicals, including Wilmington, North Carolina, where the Chemours chemical plant is now under court order to reduce the release of PFAS into the area's air, water, and soil. WHQR reporter Kelly Knoyer has been following the story and joins us now. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So my understanding is that communities in and around Wilmington and the Cape Fear watershed area have been devastated by PFAS chemicals, one called Gen X in particular. Can you start by describing some of the effects that this chemical is having on local residents?
So one of the things that's most concerning to local residents is that it's not entirely clear exactly what health effects come from Gen X. It's not as well studied as some of the legacy chemicals PFOS and PFOA, but it is also likely to cause immune defects, potentially cancer, decreased fertility, low birth weight. There's liver issues as well. The main concern for folks who live in this community is that Gen X has been coming into our watershed for decades. We didn't find out about it until 2017, and then they put a cap on how much of it could be released into the river from the Chemours plant. Previously, they could put their water directly into the river without any kind of filtration. And now, after this news broke in 2017, there's been a consent decree that requires them to limit their emissions a bit more. So our local Department of Environmental Quality set a level of 140 parts per trillion at that time. Now the EPA has come out and said that 10 parts per trillion is a more appropriate level. But there's a concern that this still doesn't go far enough, or that other chemicals, which are still unregulated entirely, might also be causing the same kinds of health impacts because they're also related.
So, Kelly, what are you hearing from people from the community that are affected by this pollution?
You know, there's a lot of people who've been activists for a long time. Dana Sargent's the executive director of Cape Fear River Watch, and her brother Grant died of cancer several years ago. She thinks that because he was a firefighter in Chicago, he was exposed to higher levels of PFAS than a lot of other people, and she thinks that's why he got cancer. Similar story, this actually came from a recent public hearing for a permit for Chemours to release water into the river. Sheil Patel, who's a high school student here, he talked about his neighbors getting cancer.
My neighbors, who live on the road right next to my cul-de-sac, were a perfectly healthy couple who had moved into Wilmington 10 years ago. Over the last 3 years, the wife developed ovarian cancer and the husband developed liver cancer. They told me they strongly believed that it was our contaminated drinking water that caused their cancers.
So, Kelly, that's one anecdote. Are there other similar cases of those kinds of cancers around there?
You know, a lot of people think that there's a heightened risk of cancer in this area, but there's still a lot of monitoring going on. We don't really know exactly whether cancer is a higher risk here or if it's directly caused by the Gen X exposure. Unlike other legacy chemicals, Gen X doesn't bioaccumulate in the body, so it runs through you. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't have health impacts. You know, if you drink a lot the night before, you might still have a hangover, but you won't test for a high level of blood alcohol the next day. That doesn't mean that your health hasn't been impacted by drinking heavily. And it's similar for Gen X. Because this stuff doesn't bioaccumulate, it's hard to track exactly how much people have had as far as lifetime exposure. And the levels were significantly higher before Chemours had this consent decree limit their emissions. For folks who've lived in the community for a long time, not knowing what those levels were like back in 2004 before it was regulated at all, it's really concerning. And they don't really know what the impacts actually have been. People go to the doctor and they ask whether this is something that could be impacting them. And doctors have to just say, I don't know. There's no way of us knowing exactly how much you've been exposed to. We cannot confirm that this is what caused your cancer. This is what caused your liver disease.
I see. So given all that, are people in these communities comfortable with what's being done in terms of the consent decrees and in terms of the conditions that are being placed on the Chemours plant?
I would say no. So that same hearing that I went to, where Sheil Patel gave his commentary, they were demanding that instead of 99% of the PFAS in the water being removed, they wanted it to be 100%, down to non-detect levels. And that would be more in line with what the EPA has now said the health advisory should be. The issue with the Chemours plant is that there is decades of buildup of forever chemicals under the plant. It's leaking out of the groundwater. So the local Department of Environmental Quality is requiring Chemours to build this large wall around the entire plant deep underground to capture the water and send it to wells where it can then be filtered. But they're only requiring them to filter out 99% of the PFAS currently. A lot of residents want to see significantly higher levels than that.
The EPA is saying there is no safe level when it comes to drinking water, for example.
Exactly. And another thing that's of great concern to folks in this community is that they're only setting these expectations for three chemicals for Chemours and four at the EPA level. But there are 9,000 different PFAS in the world, 9,000 known PFAS chemicals. And they're only regulating four at the federal level. So the rest of those, which are related, likely to have similar health effects, they haven't got any regulation whatsoever.
Wow. So, Kelly, give me a sense of what the state of North Carolina is saying about all this, given what the EPA is saying. Or is the state going further than what the EPA is recommending?
So historically, the state of North Carolina has been quite conservative on PFAS, but recently there's been a change in leadership, and the DEQ is now saying that they're going to go after 10 to 15 additional PFAS and set drinking water standards for those as well. But even then, I would say a lot of activists and scientists say that that's not going far enough. I have a clip from Duke scientist Lee Ferguson about that issue.
I think we are right now in the decision point that previous generations of scientists and regulators were at with things like PCBs and asbestos. I call it environmental whack-a-mole.
Environmental whack-a-mole. Kelly, what is the Chemours Chemical Company saying about the new rules and what it and other companies are being asked to do?
So Chemours has had an ad campaign in this area for several months now where they call themselves a good neighbor, and that's infuriated local activists and residents. But Chemours has threatened to sue the Environmental Protection Agency after they came out with these health advisories, saying that it goes too far and that it's not in line with science. They have their own studies that they'll cite saying that these chemicals are actually not that dangerous and that these non-detect levels are going too far. So it seems clear that this is something that they're planning to fight against. They haven't actually sued the EPA quite yet, but they've threatened to.
Kelly, I want to come back to one thing that you mentioned earlier. You said that there are 9,000 identified PFAS chemicals, but the federal government only sets health advisories on four of them. Why is that?
You know, I think it's a matter of not having the studies that show that each of these individual chemicals is dangerous. But a lot of activists, a lot of scientists believe that it would be reasonable to set standards that are based on families of PFAS. That's the way that the European Union is planning to regulate PFAS. They've gone much further than the United States has. And that's the kind of thing that advocates suggest we should do.
All right. Well, that's WHQR reporter Kelly Kanoyer, who's been covering Wilmington, North Carolina's struggle to rid its water, soil, and air of PFAS chemicals. Kelly, thank you so much for your reporting. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's an honor.
PFAS aren't found only in industrial waste. One list put out by the Sierra Club includes kids' products like car seats and toys, along with household goods like rugs, furniture, food packaging, and clothing, including certain types of bras, pajamas, athletic wear, even yoga pants. So what steps can consumers take to avoid these chemicals? Clean Water Action recommends using glass containers for your to-go food, ditching non-stick cookware, even if it says PFAS-free, and avoid those stain-resistant coatings. And if you've been using microwave popcorn bags, you might want to switch to an air popper or a pan on the stovetop. And check your dental floss, because some brands are coated with PFAS.